the Word and the Spirit. Not just the Word and the Spirit, but a Word and Spirit convergence. A convergence where it's not a balance. We like to use the word balance, where we say, well, you know, hey, we're balanced. You know, as if we're somewhat committed to the Word and somewhat committed to the things of the Spirit. No, we're balanced. We're kind of, we're like operating in this midway, midpoint, where, you know, we're somewhere between them. But what we're talking about, our real heart here, and what we've been really really laboring in prayer for, is a new synthesis above them both, in Word and Spirit. Now, does this make sense to you? Are you, or not? Are you like, what in the world is he talking about? And I think it'll make sense as we go here, hopefully. And we'll wrap it up, and I'll make sure you understand. Because you have to understand this, or you kind of won't be able to discern really the tension. But what we're talking about is not finding a middle road between the two. Well, we're not too zealous for the Word, and we're not too overly zealous for the Spirit. Make sense? Some of you thought, well, they're running around a building. What the heck? And some of you are thinking, praise God, we're finally free. You know? So there's all that tension going on in the room all the time, and I'm aware of that. That's okay, and God can handle that. But we're not talking about some, like, middle of the road. Like, you're all Word people, and you're all Spirit people, and hopefully we can, like, mix it up, and we'll all balance out. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a convergence, a synthesis that is something above them both, where we have the sermon and the worship, where we have structure and spontaneity. Imagine that. Principle and power. Intellect and affections. It's okay to think as Christians, right? You got a brain? We think that's a dirty word, don't we? No, we're about intellect and the affections of God. Words such as reformation and revival. The seen and the unseen. God has spoken. God is speaking. Okay? Proclamation evangelism and power evangelism. Okay? Focus on New Testament and a focus on the Old Testament. Fear and reverence and love and joy. You feel that tension sometimes? Like the fear and reverence of God, but yet loving Him and just joy. And that's the pivotal word there. And. That's that convergence. Justification and sanctification. Obedience and intimacy. Many times we run into people where they're all about obeying God, taking up your cross. Well, you say, well, where's the intimacy? Where's the love and all of it? Well, that's where there needs to be a convergence in that. Singing about God and singing to God. Praise God. A desire for better and a desire for more. Now, I've felt that. I don't know if you felt that tension in the natural, you know, in the corporateness here at City View, or maybe in a former life that you've had at another church. And I think there's a reason for it. And I just, in my study time, I just thought, you know what, that's sin. It's brokenness. It's called fracture. Because in their truest senses, the Word and the Spirit cannot be separated. Because when we do that and say, well, we're a Word church, we're all about the Word. And then you got other ones that are like, hey, man, we're all about Spirit-led. Man, we don't know what we're doing when we walk in here in the morning. We're just going to follow God. Like, it's like we're divorcing them. In doing that, we're divorcing the persons of the Trinity, when really they're all together as one. And it's this brokenness that we desperately want to see healed by His grace in this place and in this time. So some of you, maybe the light bulb's going, oh my goodness, like I've felt that. I've never had words for it, but I've felt that. Well, that's really, it's a something that we wrestle with. It's a marriage of the Word and Spirit, and it's the two shall become one. That's what I mean by convergence here.
So over the next couple of weeks, I just want to challenge us to honestly deal with this tension individually and collectively, okay? Corporately and individually. And so we'll take a couple weeks, kick around the tires, and see what we can stir up in regards to, am I open to the Word of God? Am I open to it? And then in a subsequent week, am I open to the Spirit of God? And the Spirit's moving upon us, which will be challenging for us, I think. And hopefully my prayer is that by teaching them in subsequent weeks, that I'm not going to perpetuate the brokenness of the issues. But I need to take them, because one of the 2 weeks you'll find yourself like, yeah, amen, you'll be amening. And the next week, I think you'll find yourself very challenged. Going, well, that's that. What? But yeah, you're wanting to respond, and you'll want to craft me an email afterwards. But hear it all and notice that this is going to be challenging to all of us. And let me say, and some of you have been through it because I've talked to you, entire congregations have been destroyed over this topic. The split, the anger, the angst, and the it takes guts to deal with this issue. It's very easy to go one way or the other. Shake your heads. Yeah? No? I get it. I don't get it. Okay, maybe I'm just stating the blatant obvious. But these are things I think about, okay, as we make decisions and we do things. And amen. So let's look at 1 Samuel 3. The God of the Bible... Yeah, we'll look at it in just a second. I'm not ready yet. The God of the Bible is a speaking God, isn't he? Amen? We got to know that. He is a speaking God. And he spoke first. See, God does not owe us self-disclosure. He doesn't owe it to us to tell us anything about himself. Now think about it. He has, so it's hard for us to think that way. He doesn't owe it to you, and he doesn't owe it to me. He doesn't owe it to anybody. He's God. However, he did. He did. And he does. See, and that's the power of the songs. He came near. The implications of that are now that I can come near. Otherwise, there's no near. Without his near first, he spoke, and now we know. We know about him. We know his work, a plan of redemption. He's told us things about himself. The whole of Scripture, from the Garden of Eden to the new heaven and the new earth, is a record of God speaking in human history to his people. That's what it is. So we think it's a dead, boring book. But it's his self-disclosure to us. Otherwise, we are blind to it. And you come up with all kinds of nonsense, like some of the other world religions. Well, when you throw the Bible out, look what you come up with. It's very creative, but it's dead. So, Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Enoch, to Moses, to Abraham, to Samuel, Solomon, on and on and on. The New Testament, it's Pentecost. Paul, Peter, Cornelius, the prophets at Antioch, and on and on and on. The principal way God speaks to us is through the written word, the Bible. Not the only way, the primary way. Okay? I think we're not out there too far on a limb saying that. And his primary revelation of his voice is the Bible, is the written word. No alleged vision, no voice, no insight, no impression from God will ever conflict with the revelation of Scripture. Ever. I don't care how popular the person is. I don't care how cleverly crafted his words are or hers. If it does not line up, it's not God speaking. All right? That's what I mean by primary revelation. So week after week, I or whoever comes up to the platform, we open a book. We open this book up and we sit it down and we read from it. And you all right now, most of you have a version, a translation of that book in front of you open to you, right? So there it sits, open to us. But it does not mean that we are open to it. So this is a book that primarily reads us. It's like no other book. No other book. So let's look at 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. Verse 21. Well, as a matter of fact, let's look at verse 1. 1 Samuel 3:1. The second half of that first verse says, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." And then we go, then it interacts with God calling to Samuel and talking with Samuel. And in verse 19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." In verse 21 says, "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh." See, some of you live in Shiloh, and there you go. Like, today's your day. Like, I live in Shiloh. But it's probably a York address, isn't it? Be pretty cool to have an address at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So if we're looking at verse 21, we're saying that seeing God happens through hearing. Now there's nuances of that those words of revealed himself to Samuel, implying visions. But the primary breakdown of that is that our seeing God happens through our hearing. Our vision is through our ears. Physical and spiritual. Right? "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord." So what I'm going to do next week, I want you to just ponder that. Say, wow, my ears open? Are my physical ears open? I need to get them cleaned or turn them on. But next week, what I will do is I'm going to go through evidence that we may not truly be open to the word. So I have like 6 points that will help challenge us to see if we're really, really open to hearing from this word. Even though the Bible's open, are we open to it? And then I'm going to go through maybe 4 or 5 points of proof that I am. Say, okay, we'll get to the good part. Well, we're going to go over maybe 5 qualifications or 5 proofs that I am or you are open to the word. And then I have a few words on listening. And this just kind of opens that up there. That our seeing God, our vision is through our ears. Amen? Oh, my word. Yeah, this is too important. I don't want to rush it, and I don't want to lose you. But that's the basis of where we're going for the next couple weeks. Make sense? Because then we're going to get into Corinthians, because this is leading us somewhere. In terms of Corinthians is a treasure trove of the things of God and the things of the Spirit. And I want us to make sure we have a firm foundation as a church before we enter into that, knowing the whole tension. So if this morning you were kind of like, oh my goodness, we're going to pray for people now. Like, we need to keep on schedule. Like, we have to open the word. And well, you know what? Jesus is the word as well. His presence. And if you've come here for any amount of time, you know we honor the word. Amen? It's a good. If you have any questions on that, let me know. It's word and spirit, married, convergence, here. So some of you, this will get clear. You may get uncomfortable with it. You may say, you know what, maybe I need to get off this train and pick up a new one. Like, I thought this was a Bible church. Well, we are. We're also a spirit church. Okay? Amen? Went to a concert last night. Let's stand, because then I'll know to end. I found myself in the balcony of Calvary Church over in Lancaster.